You're listening to Asheville FM at WSFM LP 103.3 Asheville. This is News Team correspondent Gary Leonard, and I'm joined with the editor of the Asheville Blade, David Forbes.
Always a pleasure.
How's it going, David?
Well.
Good.
I mean, as well as anything can be in a rapidly gentrifying city with a government that seems intent on shutting out even the most modest reforms, even as issues continue to escalate and get worse. They just had an election stolen from it.
Yeah.
So we have a lot to talk about.
Indeed. That's quite the intro into what we're going to be unpacking. And what it is that we're unpacking is going to be the June 11th city council meeting that took place a couple weeks ago. And as you kind of alluded to, David, one of the big things that we want to discuss is a budget.
Mm-hmm.
So as we do for a lot of these, what you like to call iceberg issues, is there's typically a lot of context, particularly with the amount of pushback that the budget received last year.
And this year. And the year before, actually.
A lot of pushback around the budget.
As
a community, as folks who are impacted by what elected officials pass regarding budget, we should have a say and a lot of feelings about it. But this one was interesting, and there were certainly some community members that left that chamber feeling a little disappointed in terms of how that played out.
I think disappointed's a too mild of a word, probably. Angry, dismayed was a word that came up, demoralizing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the public of Asheville, there's a lot of people active in city politics now, kind of active on the ground level as activists or advocates for their communities, are frankly angry, very angry at this point. Interestingly, the piece that led up to this budget hearing, which I encourage you to go read, still the main piece up in the Blade right now, it's called The Great Divide. It's written by Matilda Bliss, who's a longtime city politics watcher, activist here on a lot of different fronts, and was kind enough to cover the meeting before this one, where the budget hearing took place. Budgets are weird things. They don't just all present and vote in them in one night.
Yeah.
They'll present them at one meeting. There'll be a lot of lead up, maybe some work sessions. Present them at one meeting. Then usually the next meeting after that, they'll have a hearing on a public hearing. They'll vote on it at a whole other meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that last meeting, the last one in May, you saw really an outpouring of Ashevillians against the budget. And a very wide range of people. You even had, traditionally kind of mainstream nonprofits say we're not happy with this budget. And there was really kind of three issues that this crystallized around, which all had kind of some larger issues. The budgets of the last 2 years have been really controversial because they put money towards a method for raises for city staff that gives a disproportionate amount to high-level city staff, people already making a lot of money. And Asheville has a particularly harshly divided pay structure. So rank and file Asheville employees don't make very much.
Mm-hmm.
Less so even than kind of similar public, sector service jobs in various places. But heads of departments, city manager make a lot of money.
Oh yeah.
The city manager's salary is $220,000. Just in the time I've been here in Asheville in about 13 years, like that's up by about 70K from where it used to be.
And no mention of living wage. I know Councilman Young brought that up previously.
Yeah, and that's actually an interesting thing. Yes, he did bring that up at a previous budget meeting and was shouted at by some of the more centrist members of council. This was somehow verboten for him to do this. But as a council member, he has every right to bring this up. But additionally, that would not reoccur.
Hmm.
That kind of pressure would not reoccur. So you saw this divide kind of open up between the public saying, no, we need money for transit. We need a $15, living wage for city workers, about 1,200 city workers out there total. So it's a large workforce. And clearly, nearly 150 people will be affected by this. We need money for tree protection. This has actually come up as an issue. The city doesn't have an urban forester, supposed to have a plan for tree protection, doesn't. In the last decade, has lost about 8 to 10% of its tree coverage.
That is so wild to me. So surprising to
me. Well, I think it's the case in a lot of things in Asheville. You have the facade and then you have the reality.
That's real.
We're in Pride Month and Asheville's done very little. In fact, been detrimental towards queer and especially trans people for a long time. One of the last even symbolic gestures was flying a pride flag when equal marriage passed. But since then, you had a far-right-wing city attorney. Anyway, but this is one small example, a very important example. But you see this all the time with Asheville, where you have the facade, but when you look for actual policies or money or anything that supports, whether it's the environment or African-American communities here, Latinx communities here, queer communities here, you'll see very little or even active harm being done.
Mm-hmm.
And that definitely was kind of the theme here. in a lot of ways was the difference between what Asheville expect Asheville to do and what Asheville keeps doing, which is pass right-wing budgets in a left-leaning city. I think that's kind of the core of the satisfaction. So that kind of divide had opened up. I think a lot of observers expected going into this meeting on June 11th, you would see at least some concessions made, maybe a little more money for transit. Advocates saying, look, buses, including the transit workers union, we've got buses catching on fire.
Yeah.
The transit system does not
And last year that was a case, correct? There was a little bit of like budging here and there.
Yeah, there was not much though.
Yeah.
And that's what the reason last year's budget passed 4-3, like only by a single vote.
Right.
Biggest divide we've seen in a long time.
Right.
So your new city manager this year, but as time went on, it became clear that the new city manager, Deborah Campbell, was passing a budget that would have been pretty much one pass under her predecessor, the, you know, fairly unpopular, especially the time he got kicked out by council, Gary Jackson. I think that surprised some people. I don't think it necessarily should have, but it did. This budget, you know, the last year's budget and the one before were controversial because they emphasized high-level staff pay increases, expanding police, money for consultants. This year's budget emphasized high-level staff pay increases, expanded policing, money for consultants. And the city is putting some more money towards transit, but it's far less than what advocates say, and even the city's own plans say, is necessary to make the system usable. And you've seen kind of city staff's explanations on the shift. They said sometimes we need more money, but then when advocates said, well, we could get the money here or there by shifting these things around, they said, oh, well, we just don't have the staff, even if we did have the money.
Mm-hmm.
And that point was made by some transit advocates. They feel like they're getting, rightly, I think, shifting explanations. The city's and really, though, with Campbell, she issued a memo before going to this meeting, and it really had no changes.
Wow.
None. As a matter of fact, she actually noted in the memo that the city actually did find $600,000 more dollars. The city's actually getting a lot more revenue this year because the Mission Hospital properties are no longer owned by a nonprofit. They're owned by HCA, which is a for-profit company. So all of a sudden, the city gets tax dollars from some fairly a massive chunk of real estate. You know, so you thought it was going to be $2.5 million for this year, for this chunk of the year. It's actually going to be that the budget covers is closer to $3
million. Mm-hmm.
So they got this chunk of extra money after the hearing, and instead of putting it to any of the priorities, it could have funded a number of them. It could have given trans advocates some of the service expansions they were looking for, or it could have, you know, put in place a $15 minimum wage for city workers and hired a forester, had some better tree protection. And instead, the money went to a consultant. It's going to a consultant to review Haywood Street in downtown even more. So $400,000 of that, $200,000 of facility maintenance. That I think that shocked a lot of people that, okay, look, you found some extra money, and it's still not going to any of our priorities.
So question regarding that $600,000 that was quote-unquote found.
Yeah.
Given that it was so late in the game in the budget process, does that need to be a public hearing of some sort where the public has an opportunity to be able to weigh in terms of what are the needs that are – impacting community members and where they want to see their dollars go towards?
I mean, if we had better counsel, sure. But they're real big. I was actually at Active Civil Disobedience last year because the budget hearing was held so late that previous meeting last year at 9:30 at night. And then when the next meeting opened, locals were like, we didn't get a chance to speak.
Yeah.
You held it so late. You had so little information out there. So Amy Cantrell, who works Beloved House in Just Economics, actually was arrested sitting in for the protest and the lack of transparency, the lack of what, you know, she sees as funds going towards social justice.
Yeah.
An issue. She was far from the only one who shared those concerns and those, you know, criticisms. So that happened. You know, we didn't quite have an active civil disobedience this time. But yeah, no, they could have reopened, said, hey, we're just having stuff on the changes that have been made. But they didn't. The public didn't get a chance to weigh in. And clearly, but here's the thing, the public kind of had. They'd said, we want more money to go to these three, four things, transit, $15 wage, tree protection. None of it went to that. And so it's interesting and that's why I think the last piece on the Blade, The Great Divide, was aptly titled. The divide between what you're seeing from the people of Asheville and what they want overwhelmingly, and what you're seeing a majority on council now, heck, in this budget, all of council eventually, and the city manager and the senior bureaucracy want, are two very different things. It's just there's a massive gulf between them. And it's interesting to see that, you know, interestingly, you saw a different example in another North Carolina city where Durham City Council, after a lot of public pressure and organizing, went the opposite direction. The city manager there had wanted more policing. The city council refused, and they instead put in place a $15 wage for all city workers. So, like, it can be done, and councils have the power to overrule their city managers. But during the debate leading up to this, in some previous meetings, you actually heard some more centrist members of council literally say that you shouldn't question the city manager, which is ludicrous, frankly. It is literally council's job in the city charter to question and even remove, if they feel necessary, the city manager. But you have a culture of a lot of deference and a lot of silence around here, and there were council members literally saying, you know, we need to give the city manager the benefit of the doubt, which is ludicrous, frankly. And no public official should ever get the benefit of the doubt. No one should.
And David, I don't know if you already mentioned this point, but as interesting and as egregious and baffling and all the adjectives that are used, this was passed unanimously.
Yes, and that's actually kind of the conclusion of all this. And it was passed with very little discussion. There was some praise from the more centrist members of council, from Julie Mayfield and Vijay Kapoor, who have kind of been in favor of this budget all along. But the shock, I think, was that last year you had this 4-3 vote, very close, and that those three council members against it were Brian Haynes, Keith Young, and Shanika Smith, who generally kind of formed like an informal opposition. They've generally tried to raise stuff that's a little more left-leaning than the rest of council. You know, Young and Smith raised the $15 wage issue at a previous meeting. So there's some expectation there'll at least be some divided vote, because this budget gave them none of their priorities. Even a push for – city has appalling contracting rates with minority-owned businesses. That's the term they use. And there was, you know, some funds were supposed to go to this, you know, maybe to a staffer to help with outreach or a more kind of permanent – outreach process, and that $60,000, which is a minor amount for a city budget with, you know, $190 million in it this year, are actually going to go to a consultant. Again, so like there's kind of this, you know, we're not going to change anything, stop asking questions kind of culture here. And I think a lot of locals are getting angry, not just about what's being done, which is, you know, bad enough by a lot of people's view, but just this kind of almost high-handed contempt for the public showing up to talk. Actually, at the last meeting, people were saying, look, yeah, we do want things. We want a better life. We want a more sustainable city. We want people not to be so such desperate poverty. We're not going to apologize for wanting a better city. So you're definitely seeing kind of that tension build. But yeah, none of those council members voted against this time. None. And none of them said anything either, which I think surprised a lot of people. None of them even tried to justify their actions. I'll be honest, and I we use a fair amount of invective, the blade, because I think it's necessary sometimes to highlight the stakes of this and these actions affect. But bluntly, the lack of – not just lack of opposition, the lack of even saying anything by council members Haynes and Young and Smith was one of the most abrupt acts of political cowardice I have ever seen in 13 years of covering City Hall, which says something given how Asheville City Hall is here.
Well, thank you for that, David. I have a lot of thoughts that
indeed
you and I will likely discuss offline around some of the things, but I want you to hit on a couple of things before we wrap things up. So one of those is a new police chief. And then the second thing in terms of delaying, and particularly what was interesting about this, is that there was an up-down vote regarding the Flatiron Building.
Yes.
So there's a couple things coming up down the pike as well.
Yes, that's important. So they finally named a new police chief, formerly the chief of India, not the chief of detectives, I think deputy chief detectives. We're a really like lower down position for a police chief from Indianapolis. Incidentally, the police chief's a white guy. Actually, there's a Twitter account named Irish Sarge. It's mostly pretty much boilerplate. But has made some others, some coverage has happened since, both from Indianapolis and from here. Bailey, his chief's name, has a record of making actually some critical comments about he doesn't think police should act as, you know, an occupying force in neighborhoods. At the same time, the previous police chief, Tammy Hooper, said those things too and turned out. And then we had the worst racial disparities of any major city in the state for traffic stops and searches. So I don't think the public, frankly, expects a whole lot or believes in a whole lot. And interestingly, this choice was made more importantly than the young occupant of the office with almost no public input. Last time, there was at least like the final candidates got to speak their piece, even though the city made sure they could.
There were a couple like public hearing sessions that I heard like one or two people.
Well, but they were I think partly we're talking about this divide, the lack of confidence in City Hall to hold an open public process is so low at this point. So completely low that people were like, why show up?
Right.
You've shown us you don't care what we have to say.
Yeah.
And, you know, they can improve the process all they want in the world. At the end of the day, if the city never takes the public's input into account, or hard, you know, really never does unless they're really forced to. And even when they're forced to, keeps trying to undermine and gut these things, people just get angry and dismayed, fairly understandably. But, you know, there were a few input in the very vague sense of, you know, what do you want to see in a police chief? You know, not corrupt, not racist, obviously. But, like, there, even the last time there was, you know, at least some opportunity for people to see the final candidates, there wasn't this case. The city manager, Campbell, just appointed one, and the city is going on. So we'll see how it plays out.
There you go. New
given the
chief.
Record, not very well. But I think kind of looming even more is the fact that the Flatiron Building, which is this attempt to turn this, you know, classic Asheville building with a lot of small and local organizations, fairly affordable rents there, into a hotel, hideously unpopular. And when it came before council last time in May, it was actually it was clear that there was not a majority support on council, and the developer withdrew it. But now it's coming back again. They said now they're going to keep 8 commercial office spaces out of like 80 spaces. And the proponents are claiming, which are a hotelier and the current owner, who seems to make like $16 million off this deal, are claiming this is the only way to preserve this building. It's clearly not. You know, they could do any number of things and preserve it. The owner, Russ Thomas, has not maintained it for many years, has expressed some very blatant classism towards the current tenants. And so it's kind of been a galvanizing, you know, a flashpoint for fights over large gentrification, how despised the hotel industry is here because it's taking up everything and paying people terribly. And often hoteliers make pretty derogatory comments about locals. And that's definitely come up in this process. So we'll see if that concession, quote unquote, the, like, you know, adding a few commercial spaces.
Well, as you said before, that's a big one. Like, dependent on how city council votes on that, I
exactly,
think it could
yeah.
be a floodgate for other hoteliers down
yeah.
the road.
And that's an important thing. Not just is this big because it's a, you know, it's the last affordable space in the middle of downtown. It's the last non-gentry, like, organizational and business space. This breaks a number of the city's own rules. They're asking for a lot of exceptions on parking and on taking up street space and on a lot of different things that he generally doesn't grant exceptions on. You've seen a lot of hoteliers kind of behind the scenes hold back, which seems hard to believe in Asheville, but it has happened because the votes to pass hotels have been so narrow.
Yeah.
All it takes is one vote shifting. You lose, you know, this $1 million project or whatever they're doing. But I think if this passes, the signal will be council will basically pass anything.
Yep.
And I think the floodgates will open even more. So a lot of people are paying attention for that reason. Last time, public comment was overwhelmingly against this.
Yeah.
I think that's not changed. People are angry. And I think the question is, you know, is that, you know, incredibly minor change enough to sway like one council vote? Interestingly, council at the June 11th meeting gave a special dispensation for Mayor Samanheimer to attend and vote by phone, which is almost never done. Generally, a councilor has to be in the chambers to cast their vote.
And I think it's wild.
And well, Manheimer's not announced which way she'll vote on this. She did say that, you know, not letting this go through for the developer was, quote, a slap in the face at the last meeting, which I think we commented that was, you know, revealed some pretty appalling bias, like kind of towards the upper class from her kind of her own direction. But, you know, if you think of not getting your $1 million hotel deal to go through as a slap in the face, try like facing poverty or an eviction notice, you know. So
navigating this housing crisis.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
making, like, putting food on your table, navigating a really bad transit system.
Exactly. Well, hoping the bus doesn't catch on fire, you know. So
those things. That's kind of more
slap in the face. So the comment, I think, was an interesting example of, like, you know, she viewed that developers have this, who she viewed as making Asheville Asheville, which, no, the people of Asheville do, getting this right, and that was the slap in the face, not everything else you just mentioned. And it came off as very badly out of touch, I think, with a lot of locals I talked to afterwards. So we'll see if that's maintained, if Manheimer does end up voting for this. Certainly the vote's close enough that could be decisive.
Wow.
I think the big question is if Councilmember Julie Mayfield or any of the, you know, oppositions, you're calling them earlier, are swayed, because Mayfield was against this last time.
Yeah.
Are those, you know, 8 commercial spaces enough to vote for this hideously unpopular project?
Wow.
We'll see, but I think the public's going to show up in force again.
Yep.
And I think it's going to be emblematic, like, how far this divide stands. And is there any line that council will draw to stop gentrification at all, ever?
And David, what is the date of that next city council meeting?
The date of the next city council meeting is next Tuesday.
Next. That's it. And for all of these issues and other stories, where can folks learn more about what's going on with our local government?
AshevilleBlade.com.
Well, David, thank you, as always, for joining us for another City Council Report.
Always a pleasure.